Iran rejects claims about granting the IAEA access to individuals as part of its inspection of the country's nuclear program. Political tensions escalating in Tunisia as opposition supporters rally against President Kais Saied's policies, despite an official ban on the protests. China announces a rise in its annual military budget amid growing tensions with Washington over a wide range of issues. I'm Behrouz Najafi. Welcome. North Korea condemns its neighboring South and the U.S. over plans to conduct large-scale military exercises. North Korean Foreign Ministry says that Washington is to blame for the collapse of international arms control systems, adding that Pyongyang's nuclear weapons are just a response to ensure the balance of power in the region. It said the Korean Peninsula is turning into the world's biggest war field, into an expansion scheme led by the U.S. and its allies. And Tokyo, Washington crossed a red line which Pyongyang would not tolerate. That's what North Korea says. The comments followed the U.S. and South Korea's announcement that they plan to conduct drills from March 13 to 23rd. North Korea says such military drills are provocative and rehearsal for an invasion. Now, Iran has rejected claims about granting the International Atomic Energy Agency access to individuals as part of its inspection of the country's nuclear program. A spokesman for the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran says the issue was not even raised during the visit by the IAEA chief, Rafael Grossi, to Tehran. Behrouz Kamalvandi added that there was also no discussion about unrestricted access to the alleged three undeclared locations where the agency claims to have found uranium traces. He stressed that Iran's agreement with the IAEA during Grossi's visit complies with a law passed by the Iranian parliament to counter sanctions and develop the country's nuclear program. As part of the agreement, Iran said it would voluntarily allow the agency to conduct more verification and monitoring in case such activities are needed. After arriving in Vienna, Grossi claimed that the agreement included access to people of interest.
The stalemate between Tehran and the three remaining signatories to the Iran deal over reviving the 2015 landmark agreement has once again brought the Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, to the Iranian capital. Rafael Grossi held talks with a number of Iranian officials, including President Ebrahim Raisi, Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian, and head of the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran, Mohammad Islami. During a joint press conference with Iran nuclear chief, Grossi said his meetings in Iran took place in an atmosphere of cooperation.
The atmosphere is an atmosphere of work, of honesty and cooperation, and I think this is it is the most important thing. Our dialogue will continue today.
The IAEA chief also expressed hope that his meetings with Iranian officials would produce good results.
We are working hard. What I can tell you is that our teams, we have been working. Now we are taking recess to come and talk to you. But we are working hard in order to have good solutions today.
He also hailed his meetings with Iranian authorities as constructive.
By having a constructive discussion like we are having now and having good agreements like I am sure we are going to have, we are going to be paving the way for important agreements. And this is my hope.
Iran Atomic Chief also addressed the reporters. Islami said the Islamic Republic has no reservation about advancing its nuclear program, adding that the country will not give up on its national interests. Regarding claims about uranium enrichment, Islami said the IAEA's report has confirmed Iran has not enriched uranium beyond its declared 60%. He added the issue has now been resolved between the two sides. Islami underlined that the meetings show Tehran and the IAEA maintain professional relationship.
The visit by the head of the IAEA comes as the UN agency is accused of bias when it comes to Iran's nuclear program. Tehran is critical of the agency's political approach and says that the UN watchdog is under the influence of Israel, that's not even a party to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty.
The recent visit by the IAEA chief to Iran comes as many throughout the world have raised doubts over the impartiality of the UN agency. This comes to the spotlight, especially when the UN nuclear watchdog has always failed to address questions about the agency's inspection of Israeli nuclear sites. During his press conference, Grossi argued that Israel is not a party to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, or NPT, and therefore the agency cannot technically inspect Israeli sites. Given that, one would argue that the IAEA, along with the international community, have failed to pressure the Israeli regime to become a member of the agreement. After all, the regime in Tel Aviv possesses more than 400 nuclear warheads, which can by default be an enormous threat to the entire world. In the meantime, Iran has been critical of the UN agency for acting politically in cases related to the technical issues of the country's nuclear program. Tehran says the agency acts under the influence of certain countries, but the IAEA claims otherwise.
The IAEA has not been and will never be a political tool of anybody. I, as Director General, I am independent. I am under no country's instructions.
Iran's concern can be clearly felt in President Ebrahim Raisi's remarks when he met with Rafael Grossi on Saturday. President Raisi said Tehran will continue to cooperate with the International Atomic Energy Agency if the IAEA preserves its independence and defend the rights of the Iranian people. Raisi said Tehran expects the agency's activities not to be under the influence of certain world powers who pursue their personal interests. The president called on the IAEA to express realities about Iran's nuclear program without any partiality and based on professional behavior. This is significantly debatable when one argues that the International Atomic Energy Agency has even failed to condemn terrorist attacks on Iranian nuclear sites as well as those targeting Iranian scientists. This is why the pressure is always coming from entities like Israel that are not even a party to the NPT. The pressure is also coming from countries like the United States that they themselves are in possession of hundreds or maybe thousands of nuclear warheads and a threat to humanity by nature.
Pakistan has decided to step up efforts to avoid an $18 billion penalty for not being able to complete a gas pipeline project with Iran in the time frame stipulated in the agreement between the two sides. Pakistan was supposed to complete the project by the end of 2014. Nasser Kazemi has a report from Islamabad.
In order to avoid paying billions of dollars in fines, it appears that the Pakistani government is attempting to find a solution for the completion of an Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline project. This comes after Pakistani lawmakers demanded progress on the publicly funded project and warned that Pakistan could face its penalty if the pipeline project with Iran is not completed before the year end. The Petroleum Ministry officials warn that Pakistan will have to pay $18 billion as a fine if it terminates Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline agreement. The officials told lawmakers that Islamabad has spoken to the United States to request a waiver as there is a ban on importing gas from Iran. The parliamentarians asked the Pakistani Ministry of Foreign Affairs to summon the American envoy and demand that he either grant Islamabad permission to move forward with the project or provide funding to cover the fine. Washington has been pushing Islamabad to give up the plan to import gas from neighboring Iran. However, the government has so far publicly resisted the pressure, arguing that the project is vital to fulfill the country's energy needs.
We should revive the Iran-Pakistan pipeline. That is the key. And we also demand the lifting of sanctions which have been imposed by certain Western countries against Iran, because the sanctions are wrong, they are unjust, and they are immoral. And Iran, like Pakistan, is a peaceful country. They want to strengthen regional relations.
Like the rest of the world, Pakistan is no exception to the global energy crisis, which is worsening each passing day. Experts believe that pending gas pipeline project with Iran could be an immediate remedy to overcome the energy needs in Pakistan if the country manages to get out of the U.S. influence.
because of the U.S. Importance in foreign relations, Pakistan has always been pressurized by the United States not to increase its trade with Iran and not to negotiate any agreements with Iran. Unfortunately, Pakistan has yielded to that pressure. Pakistan is importing gas from Qatar and other countries, Azerbaijan even, and why not import gas from Iran, which is cheaper than from so many other countries.
In 2009, the gas companies of both Pakistan and Iran signed an agreement under which Islamabad committed to building an 800-kilometer pipeline to the Iranian border by the end of 2014. However, due to the U.S. pressure, Islamabad could not fulfill its commitment. Iran has already finished a portion of the pipeline in its own territory from the gas field to the Pakistan border, where it should connect to the Pakistani part.
The call on the Pakistani government to step up efforts to complete Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline project comes as Islamabad is already grappling with several crises here at home. Avoiding this $18 billion penalty could save the country from falling into another one. Nasir Kazmi in Islamabad.
More than 2,000 people have rallied across Israel for the ninth straight week against the policies of new far-right cabinet. The protests turned violent in Tel Aviv. Israeli forces fired tear gas and used water cannon to disperse the ralliers. It also blocked some streets in an attempt to contain the event. Protesters are angry at Prime Minister Netanyahu's proposed judicial reforms. If approved, the legislation would increase the cabinet's influence in choosing judges and limit the powers of the Supreme Court to overturn the cabinet's decisions. Critics argue the legal changes will foster corruption and bring diplomatic isolation. The reforms are the cornerstone of Netanyahu's cabinet, an alliance of ultra-Orthodox and extreme-right parties which took office in late December. Opposition supporters in Tunisia have taken to the streets in defiance of an official ban on demonstration against President Kais Saied. Protesters broke through a police barrier in the capital Tunis to rally in the main street. Police already warned them that the demonstration was illegal, but said that they would not stop them by force. Demonstrators demand President Saied step down. The rally was held after some opposition leaders were recently arrested in crackdown on prominent critics of the president. They've been charged with conspiring against state security. In Greece, clashes have broken out between police and protesters over a deadly train crash that happened earlier this week. Thousands of protesters gathered outside the Greek parliament in Athens. The event was called by students, rail workers, and public sector employees. Train and metro services were also paralyzed by strike action. A passenger train collided head-on with a cargo train in central Greece on Tuesday. It was the country's worst rail disaster, killing at least 57 people, many of them students. The government has attributed the crash to human error, but unions say it was caused by lack of maintenance and faulty signaling. Now, in other news, China's military budget has risen by 7.2% this year. This is slightly outpacing last year's increase. The national budget released on Sunday shows some $224 billion allocated to military spending for the year 2023. Beijing says armed forces should work to carry out military operations, boost combat readiness, and enhance military capabilities. This year's hike in defense spending marks the eighth consecutive single-digit increase. The upswing in the defense budget comes amid growing tensions with Washington over a wide range of issues, including Taiwan and the South China Sea. Political analyst Angela Giuliani says that China's increase in defense spending is quite irrational, given the rise in the defense budget of Japan and the United States that are both Taiwan's allies.
I think this increase is a non-issue. Just to remind you, the GDP increase for 2023 will be 6%. So now you have, in comparison, you have a 7.2% of increase for defense spending. I think it is marginal. What worries me more is actually what Japan is doing. Japan is aiming to spend double what it is spending right now in defense spending by 2027. That is a much more relevant news, especially since Japan is positioning itself to be extremely aggressive. Japan declared that what Japan did was to reinterpret the Pacific Constitution. Additional to that, they say that if Taiwan was to be attacked, well, Taiwan as an ally would be defended. So I think that is the real news. When it comes to defense spending, I think China is very rational. I think also you need to compare to the U.S. Right now, China is spending one quarter of what the U.S. is spending. If you were to adjust this into power parity, purchase power parity, it would be about half what the U.S. is spending.
And that brings to the end of this newscast from Tehran. Thank you for being with us.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the All Compassionate, the All Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, March 5th, 2023. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from around the world, from Protama Prom from Bangladesh. Osman Ramos Reyes from Guatemala has sent us reception report, and Bashir Ahmad from India. So, Protama, Osman, and Bashir, thank you very much for sending us these reception reports. We want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And of course, we've received emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read these great emails. Ding Lu from China has sent us an email. From Guatemala, we've received an email from Osman Adrian Ramos. Muhammad Akram from Pakistan has sent us an email from Italy. We've received an email from one of our old and regular listeners, from Dario Gabrielli, and Nectarios Manousos from Greece, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. Please stay with us. We will be back with you. This is Listeners Special, and as I said, we've received an email from China from Ding Lu. So let's see what Ding Lu says. Dear IRIB English Radio, I am a listener from China. My name is Ding Lu. Today I received your English language program signal here in Jiangsu province. The signal is very strong. Here, I want to apply for a paper QSL card from IRIB English Radio, if possible. I wish IRIB English Radio staff good health. All the best. I like to collect paper QSL cards of radio stations all over the world. I hope to collect QSL cards of IRIB English Radio, too. Thank you. First of all, salam and warm greetings from Iran. Ding Lu from China, appreciations to you for this email. And it's good to hear that you could receive our signals in your region, in Jiangsu province, which you found it very strong. That's good. We also wish you good health and all the best. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification, since sending any material, including paper QSL card, in the time of pandemic is not possible. Anyway, Ding Lu from China, thank you again. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And any view or opinion on behalf of you about IRIB English Radio broadcast is welcomed. Thank you again, Ding Lu from China. And here we've received an email from Guatemala from Osman Adrian Ramos. So let's see what Osman says. Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for your email. I send you greetings from Guatemala, where I can occasionally listen to you when propagation condition allows it. Keep up the good work. Salam, Osman Adrian Ramos from Guatemala, and warm greetings to you from Tehran. Osman Adrian Ramos from Guatemala, thank you very much for this email. We are so pleased to hear that our signals are received in your country, which is geographically far from Iran. But as you may know, radio is a good means to bring us all together. Iran and Guatemala with other countries, and that's great. Anyway, Osman Adrian Ramos from Guatemala, write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. We wish you all the best, and please accept our electronic QSL as verification. Thank you. And after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. Muhammad Akram from Pakistan has sent us a piece of email. Muhammad says, "Dear staff at IRIB English Radio, I hope that you would be fine. And my club friends and I are absolutely fit and fine. I am a new listener of your service. I listen to your programs daily. I found all the programs very informative and interesting. I have a request, and that is you post me a program guide and other items." Salam, Muhammad Akram, and warm greetings to you from Tehran. Thank you very much for sending this email to IRIB English Radio. Also, thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. That's great to hear that you listen to IRIB English Radio programs daily and you find it very informative and interesting. It's good to hear that. So, you're a new listener of IRIB English Radio, and we welcome you to the world of IRIB English Radio, which opens a new window to the world developments and Iran. So please accept our electronic QSL as verification, since sending any item, any material in the time of pandemic is not possible. So for the time being, please accept our eQSL as verification. And to find the program guide, you can refer to our website at parstoday.ir/en, and there you can find our program schedule and frequencies and program guide. Anyway, Muhammad Akram from Pakistan, send our greetings to your club friends. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. So here we go to another email from Dario Gabrielli from Italy. Dario Gabrielli is one of our old and regular listeners who says, "Dear friends of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting, with great pleasure I received your reply. I am very happy that you received my reception report sent some time ago via email. I want to inform you that every week I listen to the broadcast in English because I don't like listening to internet radio. I wish you a good continuation from the northeast of Italy." Salam and warm greetings to you, Dario Gabrielli from Italy, and thank you very much for this email. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification, and it's good to hear that you're interested in listening to shortwave radio. And that's the way almost everyone likes, I mean, listening to the traditional kind of radio. That's good, Dario Gabrielli from Italy. Thank you very much for this email. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Welcome back. From Greece, we've received an email from Nektarios Manousos, one of our regular listeners. Nektarios says, "Dear friends, I would like to report a reception of your medium waves broadcast. If my reception report of your program was correct, I hope that you will send me your QSL verification card or your eQSL, which we'll do too. In case that you will need more program details for the verification, please let me know so I can get back to you in the future. Also, you can find a few technical details of my reception, which I hope it will be useful to your staff. It was really fun listening to your broadcast. I learned things for sure. That's the magic of the radio, and I definitely would like to hear you again in the future." First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Nektarios Manousos from Greece, and please accept our warm appreciations to you for this great email. It was detailed and good. Thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. So please accept our electronic QSL as verification. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Nektarios Manousos from Greece. So here we come to the end of this edition of Listeners Special. Many thanks for being with us. But before saying goodbye, I do send my warm gratitudes and appreciations to those of our great listeners who have sent us reception reports and emails from around the world, including Protama Prom from Bangladesh, Osman Ramos Reyes from Guatemala, Bashir Ahmed from India, Ding Lu from China, also Dario Gabrielli from Italy, Mohammad Akram from Pakistan, and Nectarios Manousos from Greece. It was good to be with you. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and your favorite program, Listeners Special. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program For Humanity. We are looking at verses in the Quran that promotes human rights through giving them traits or asking them to have certain traits. One of the traits that Allah wants me and you to have is peace. Allah says in the Quran in chapter 25, verse 63, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. The servants of Allah, those who walk on earth with humbleness, and when confronted by ignorant people, they say peace. We said peace is an action rather than a word. Me and you, when we deal with other people, we have to learn to treat others with respect, compassion, regardless of their backgrounds, regardless of the circumstance we are in. So this makes a big difference when it comes to dealing with people. Treating others with respect and compassion, regardless of their background or circumstances, requires a commitment to empathy, understanding, and being inclusive. There are certain ways we can go about doing this. One, which we mentioned before,
is to practice active listening. So listen actively to other people, try to understand their perspective, and try to see how they feel. That's just the basics we can do in trying to learn to treat others with respect and compassion. Also, we can try to avoid making assumptions about people. Don't make assumptions about people based on their background or circumstances. Instead, try to get to know them as individuals. Because what the media is doing now is stereotyping. So, for example, Islamophobia is a term that's been thrown, where it casts like almost 2 billion people on Earth out of the equation. So you have people who are Islamophobes, who have phobia from Islam. So any Muslim is out of the dictionary. Now that's a problem. That's an assumption. They're assuming that every Muslim is a terrorist. Every Muslim is trying to kill other people. Or vice versa. Sometimes we stereotype people based on the way they drive. We stereotype them based on the way they look. We stereotype them based on their color, which is all wrong. So we need to avoid assumptions when it comes to people. Rather, we need to deal with individuals. So, for example, when I look at a specific race, there are good people in that race. And there are obviously bad people. Every tree has bad apples. They're not the same. But I should not just pick one individual and say, well, everyone is like this. You know, as we say, Asians are like that. Arabs are like that. You know, Americans are like that. This European are like that. That's generalizing. Generalizing is rejected in Islam. Even from the perspective of jurisprudence, some of the ulama said it is even riba, because you're doing riba on a mass scale. You're saying everyone is bad. No, not everyone is bad. There are a lot of good people. So not making assumption is a very important fact in trying to promote peace and compassion on earth, or at least in society. Let us take a short break and then we will come back.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. So we said that we need to learn not to make assumptions when it comes to people. Also, we need to use respectful language. When we use respectful language and inclusive language and avoid discrimination or terms of discrimination, we try to create a better society. Because any word that is foul, beside the fact that it is haram, should not be said, but it creates damage. Words are like bullets. They are nothing shorter than bullets. A bullet pierces through the heart, or at least through the skin, but the word breaks a person from the inside. So we should not look at it as something that is, you know, worthless. Rather, we have to pay clear attention to what we say. Because Allah says, every word you utter, that you have a raqib and atid, they write what you say. So we have to be very careful. And we need to acknowledge and validate feelings of other people. When someone shares their feelings with you, acknowledge and validate these feelings. This can help to build trust and support between you and the other person. So sometimes a person might be ignorant in what they're doing. They could be, losing their heads. And in return, they want to take it out on me or you. First, let's acknowledge their situation. Acknowledge what they're going through. Acknowledge their ignorance, because sometimes when people live in areas or places where they have no access or they've been fed the wrong information. That is sad. I feel sad for them. I feel sorry for them. So I acknowledge that. And then I try to help. When you acknowledge and then you're trying to support other people, this creates a better way to promote a more peaceful society. We need to treat people as individuals, like I said, because stereotyping does not work. We need to show kindness and empathy towards people. And we need to challenge discrimination and prejudice in society. If we see discrimination or prejudice towards others, we need to speak out and challenge it and fight it. This is basically was the message of the prophets, the message of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. This can help promote a more inclusive and compassionate society. So to summarize what we have been saying, that treating others with respect and compassion requires active listening, avoiding assumptions, using peaceful language, acknowledging people's feelings, treating people as individuals, showing kindness and empathy, and challenging and fighting discrimination and prejudice. By embracing these strategies, we can build a more inclusive and compassionate society. So salama is an act that you and I can start practicing today. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
According to a report by an American think tank, The American Thinker, Saudi Arabia spends some $200 million per day to hire mercenaries and maintain the arms supply. A large portion of this money goes to the UK for purchasing Typhoon and Tornado aircraft, Pave bombs, as well as Brimstone and Storm Shadow missiles, making the UK fully complicit in the crimes committed against Yemeni civilians, as stated by the International Development Committee of the UK. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Kahan International wrote in this regard, "It is an undeniable fact that the US, Britain, France, and the illegal Zionist entity are the real aggressors of the 8-year war against the people of Yemen, launched by Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. The lethal weapons supplied to Riyadh and Abu Dhabi by these merchants of death have so far killed over 220,000 men, women and children, besides destroying the infrastructure of the Arab world's most impoverished country. Conscientious observers and bodies in the West have strongly protested to their regimes for the human catastrophe their warmongering policies have inflicted on a whole nation. For instance, Oxfam Charity has charged the British regime of prolonging the war in Yemen by allowing, among other sophisticated weapons, the export of air-to-air refueling equipment used by Saudi Air Force to conduct indiscriminate bombing of civilian targets in Yemen. It revealed in January that weapons supplied by the UK and US to the Saudi-led coalition in war-torn Yemen killed at least 839 civilians and wounded 1,775 others in just over a year. Imagine the death toll of the past 8 years as a result of the weapons supplied by these purveyors of international terrorism. Weapons from Britain that flow unchecked into the arsenal of Saudi Arabia for use in Yemen included Pave-guided bombs, Typhoon and Tornado aircraft, and Brimstone and Storm Shadow missiles, all of which the regime in London admits have been deployed in the conflict in Yemen. According to Press TV, an Oxfam report which analyzed 1,727 attacks on Yemeni civilians since the start of 2021 shows at least 839 civilians were killed and 1,775 others were wounded during this time. 87 of the deaths were caused by airstrikes alone. The aircraft used in the attacks, over half of which were British-made, used cluster bombs, the use of which is banned by international law. The fatalities were due to artillery strikes, missile barrages, drone attacks, landmines, roadside bombs, and the use of light arms. According to another report by an American think tank, The American Thinker, Saudi Arabia spends some $200 million per day to hire mercenaries and maintain the arms supply. A large portion of this money goes to the UK for purchasing Typhoon and Tornado aircraft, Pave bombs, as well as Brimstone and Storm Shadow missiles, making the UK fully complicit in the crimes committed against Yemeni civilians, as stated by the International Development Committee of the UK. Given that the UK has a long history of defense exports to Saudi Arabia and its coalition partners, and considering the evidence, it seems inevitable that any violations of international humanitarian and human rights law by the coalition have involved armaments supplied from the UK. These arms have also been used by Saudi-led coalition to bomb health facilities on 19 separate instances, which constitutes war crimes. Oxfam's policy advisor Martin Butcher called on the UK government to immediately cease its arms sales to the Saudis. He also pointed out the UK hypocrisy in sanctioning Russia while turning a blind eye to the blatant war crimes of Saudi Arabia coalition in Yemen. Butcher also highlighted the fact that the UK government still continues to sell arms to Saudi Arabia, being its second biggest arms supplier, which will inevitably be used in the war against Yemen. He revealed that the UK government have not only been arming Saudi Arabia, but have also been very reluctant to use their position on the United Nations Security Council to push for peace. Saudi Arabia is the biggest importer of arms in the world, second only to a country with 40 times the population of KSA. In the year 2020 alone, the kingdom imported nearly $1 billion worth of arms, the majority of which came from the US. However, this does not stop the US from parroting a tired narrative of pushing for peace in Yemen, when in reality they even hesitate to call it a war. This is apparent by Biden's initial pledges to end the war during his presidential campaign, while continually supplying arms to the kingdom to this very day. However, the weapons fragments, emblazoned with the US and UK branding, paint a starkly different picture. The six-month United Nations-sponsored truce, which was supposed to be the grounds for longer-standing solutions, was also very quickly and repeatedly violated by Saudi Arabia.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This hadith is about the importance of having a profession. In this hadith, the Prophet Muhammad says, "Inna Allah ta'ala yuhibbul abdal mu'min al-muhtarif." Truly Allah loves the servant who is faithful and engaged in a profession. Right? Having a job, having a profession, having a means by through which one acquires lawful and legitimate sustenance and pay and wages. This is one of the virtues of a believer, and it's something which is very important and leads to the acquisition of the love of God. In another hadith, it's been narrated. This hadith has been narrated in the book Al-Khisal, that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at a man who pleased him, he used to ask, "Does he have a profession? Hal lahu hirfatun?" If they said no, he would say, "He has lost his worth in my eyes." Then they would then ask, "O Messenger of Allah, why is that?" He would reply, "Because when the believer has no profession, he subsists off of his religion," meaning he uses his religion to acquire money, and this is not something which is desirable. In another hadith, it's been narrated that Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "Undertake yourselves to trading, for there lies therein your independence from what others possess. And verily Allah, mighty and exalted, loves the trustworthy servant who is engaged in a profession." Imam Sadiq alayhi salam once asked one of his companions about his means of income. He said, "May I be your ransom? I have given up trading." The Imam asked, "Why?" And he answered, "I am waiting for this rule, the reign of your government." Meaning he said that, "I'm waiting for you to revolt and to begin your revolution and take the reins of the government. When you do, obviously you're going to, take care of your followers. I'm waiting for that time. The time has come. It's very soon." The Imam said, "That is strange coming from you. Your wealth will perish. Do not abandon trading and seek out the bounty of God. Open your door and exhibit your goods and seek out the sustenance of your Lord." This is a very important and a necessary virtue that we should acquire. A lot of people who somehow think that becoming religious and pious absolves one of the need of working or seeking out a profession. It's very interesting to note that one time somebody said that one time one of the imams asked about a person who he had not seen for a while. The people said that he has taken up worship of Allah and has forgotten everybody. So the imam said, "How does he procure his sustenance?" So the people said, "His brother gives him, brings him money and brings him things so that he can survive." So the imam said, "That means that his brother is a better person and more virtuous than him." This is something to think about. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the importance of a profession in the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Until next time,